This is Roxy Petrucci from Vixen and Cher Ross from Vixen.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode. And friends, I am super excited for today's show because I am live backstage at the Turning Stone Casino in Verona, New York, with rock legend drummer Roxy Petrucci and bassist Cher Ross of Vixen. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Girls, I want to tell you something. First of all, here we are at the Turning Stone Casino in New York State, and this was my first Vixen show, and I got to tell you, absolutely epic. What an amazing, amazing show.
Oh, right on. Love it.
Very cool. I love the word epic, too.
Oh, it really was. I mean, I was blown away. I just feel totally honored to be backstage with you ladies. So, truly, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
All right. You know, Roxy, let me start out with you. You know, you've been a drummer for a very long time. I mean, you know, why don't you go ahead and give the listeners some history about yourself?
All right. Well, I started off actually as a clarinet player. Picked up the drums when I was about 14. My sister's a guitar player. And she said, we got to start a girl band instantly. And we hired two other girls to play. We had just girl band for a while. And then it just morphed into what is now Madam X. We went through many girls, and it wasn't working out, so we decided to hire two guys, and that's Chris and Brett. And the rest of that is history.
Here, how about a little history about yourself?
Sure. Like Roxy, I grew up playing something else. I grew up playing piano, and my mom was a musician and a piano teacher, and then I wanted to be in rock bands. And I was like, but I want to be one of those dudes up front. I was into Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin mostly. So I asked for a bass and got a bass. And then, but I was in the local band in my town in Minnesota when I was 15. And we thought we were going to be rock stars. But unlike Roxy, we weren't. But we had a lot of fun. And eventually, you know, I got my act together and I moved to the big city of L.A. and then finally played in about 359 bands, and then the 360th band was Vixen.
Yeah, you go through so many members when you're on the road and stuff, you know. I mean, all these musicians come and go until you find the right chemistry. I mean, actually, Maxine and I found two girls that were actually sisters, Denise and Laura Latourelle, and Maxine and I were sisters, and we had a band together called Black Lace. That came to mind. We were really, really good. We played some Gentle Giant, and then we turned around and played some funk. I mean, we had a really wide range of music we played. Yeah, I mean, you got to go through all that. You got to start small, you know, get out there, get your legs, play in the trenches, and then you're in Vixen.
Eventually.
Roxy, let me ask you this. What do you think was that most defining moment in your life that made you want to become a musician?
I went to a Black Sabbath concert. My brother brought me. I was just a tween. And I couldn't believe how they had the crowd mesmerized. And when Bill Ward went into a solo, I just was just blown away. You know, you're young, you're impressionable, and you just look at that and go, yeah, I can do that. I want to do that. It just made such an impression on me. I would go home then, and that's when we had the big console stereos. And you play your albums, and I'd sit in front of the stereo and I would stare at it. And he, you know, I'd put a Black Sabbath album on, and my dad would walk in the room and he'd just shake his head, because I'm just sitting in front of the stereo having Black Sabbath blasted. I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm just looking at the stereo, just mesmerized. I could visualize it in my head. I saw what I wanted to do.
That's a great question. I think mine was initially actually a cousin of mine, because my mom played piano, but I had this cousin who would pick up the bass and play bass with her. So we'd have all these family jam sessions, and she'd be jamming away on piano. She was really amazing. And then this cousin of mine would pick up the bass, and I would just, like, sit on the floor and kind of worship him. And I was like, he's so cool. I want to do that. I just thought that was amazing. But then, you know, like, concert-wise, I think probably the one that freaked me out the most was it was Peter Frampton, actually. I saw him.
Really?
Yeah, and the Frampton Comes Alive tour. Uh-huh. I saw Peter Frampton, and I was just like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I want to do that. So it was sort of a gradual thing where I got into that side of it. But, yeah. All good.
Girls, the first track I want to talk about is called Rev It Up. Who wants to give me some history on that one?
Rev It Up came about because we wanted to tell the story of what we'd been through. So the lyrics were very personal in terms of it was the band's point of view. It was really like what we felt as a band. There was a lot of stuff that we'd gone through in the first album, like any band. And so it was sort of like a, you know, you can't hold us, you can't stop us kind of a song. And I remember Janet and I worked on a bunch of the lyrics. And then, you know, it just kind of came together. I think, who else? Somebody else wrote it. No, really? I thought it was Mark Keel or Ron Keel wrote
Ron
it with
Keel?
Us or somebody.
Oh, Ron Keel.
I'm sorry, we can't remember anything.
This is like 30 years ago.
I know. I think Ron Keel helped us write
Keel
it or something.
From
yeah.
Keel.
Yeah. God, he'd probably shoot me for not remembering that. I'm sorry, Ron.
You got it right. You got it right eventually.
Terrible. So anyway, yeah, it was super fun, and it's really fun to play as well.
Yeah, it's a great. We opened the show with that song. That was our first song.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear "Rev It Up" with Vixen on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Just a lot on a dream. You're enough to believe. Everyone was on our side. No one would deceive. But sometimes the truth. All right, welcome back. We are with Cher and Roxy of Vixen. Girls, I want to tell you, I mean, what a great song. I really appreciate the way you explained it. Killer. I don't want to sound like a robot throughout this interview. However, these are all amazing tracks that we're going to play. And so if I say great song every time, well, that's because.
As long as you don't say shitty.
Cher, let me ask you this. What piece of musical advice forever changed your way of thinking?
Wow, good question. What piece of musical advice? I think, you know what, it was it was when I was in a band and I was like 19 and I was playing in this jazz group in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the trumpet player was this asshole trumpet player, and I was by far, I was the youngest by about 10 years, and everybody was like way older and had kind of that big brother uncle mentality. And so the trumpet player was kind of an asshole. He was kind of mean to me. And he took me aside and he was like, "You're not laying it down. You're not laying it down. You got to learn how to lay it down. You got to learn. That's what you got to do. You're the bass player. Bass players have to learn how to lay it down." And I was just like, "What? Okay. What? I don't really know what you mean, but okay." And then about a year later, I went through some crazy shit, and I was on a 52-foot boat in the Bermuda Triangle and went through a hurricane on it, and it did something to my brain. And when I came back, I went and got another gig with that exact same band in Minneapolis.
And this time you were laying it down.
And I laid it down like my life depended on it, let me tell you. But that was really good advice.
Yeah.
You know, especially for a bass player, you got to lay it down, and that was it. And you know what? So, Bernie, thank you. You were right, Bernie.
Well, you know what? Mine's just kind of the same as hers, because when I was playing, this was actually in Madam X, and we had hired Chris playing the bass, and he turned to me and he goes, "Man, you're just not hitting hard enough. I got to feel it. You're not hitting hard enough." So I would hit until my hands bled, but I wasn't feeling it. You know, it took me years till I got to the point of, you know, I hit hard, but I feel what I'm hitting. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Richie Blackmore gave me the best compliment ever when we toured with him, and he said, "Like watching you play, you swing." And that's exactly what every drummer needs to do, is you need to swing. Yeah, and even though I beat the shit out of him, I can swing. And it's like, you made my day, dude. Totally made my day by telling me that. I said, "By the way, you look good in those black leather pants."
Oh, that's funny. All right. All right, well, the next track I'd like to talk about is a song called Not a Minute Too Soon. Cher, how about some history on that one?
Sure. Not a Minute Too Soon was, you know, it's one of those love song, relationship songs, blah, blah, blah.
We're not known for that.
No, Vixen's not known for relationship songs. Yeah, I mean, it was just, I think we sat around and just wrote a bunch of lyrics that felt like kind of spot on, you know, about somebody being there for you. I think, you know, I'm not going to get too deep with it or anything, but we had a lot of fun writing it, and the riff was really cool. We still really like that riff.
Yeah,
that riff's got a cool groove. We have a lot of fun speaking about laying it down and playing it hard.
Yes,
that one is really fun live. Super fun live.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to tell you what, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Not a Minute Too Soon with Vixen. Crank it up on Far Rock Podcast. All right, welcome back. We are with Cher and Roxy of Vixen. And again, kick-ass tune, ladies. I mean, just seriously, this shit rocks. It's awesome. I love it. Roxy, this question is for you, sweetie. Has there ever been a moment in your life that you had lost the interest in playing? If so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
Never lost it. I never lost it. No, yes, I did. I remember when I did. It was after Vixen broke up, and I had been doing other stuff with Hell's Bells and Gina, and you called me, and you turned me on to Mike Johnson from Ohio. He called me to do some clinics in the Guitar Center. And remember, I was totally like foul. I was sour on the whole thing because the breakup and everything. So I was like, no, I need a break from it. I mean, that break only lasted for about 2 minutes. I was right back in it. You don't remember that?
No.
Oh. Yeah. I'll say I did for about 2 minutes. I didn't even want to know about music or anything, but like I said, it lasted about 2 minutes. Then I set up my drum, started practicing, and it was back. I was back on it. I'm talking 1994.
Okay, sure. How about you?
That's a really great question. You do have good questions. I still don't remember that, so we have to talk about that later. I think I went through like a period. It wasn't so much that I lost faith in music, but I think, and you probably were like this, I lost faith in the music business. The music business really like bummed me out, and it sort of was like, you know, the whole expectations and disappointments and, you know, stuff with bands and everything gets to you after a while. So I put my bass in a closet in about 92, I guess it was. And then I had a Texas guitar player that called me up, Gary Myrick. And he called me up, and he sort of did it under the guise, because he knew I had put my bass in the closet. I was, oh, I'm not going to play bass anymore. And he called me up, and he said, well, I know you're not really into playing, but I need a rehearsal space. Can you recommend a rehearsal space? And I was like, yeah, I know this really good one. And then we started talking. And then I'm like, well, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm auditioning a bass player and a drummer. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He's like, so do you want to audition? And I was like, yeah, all right. And so then I auditioned and I got the gig.
The rest is history.
And then I never stopped. So yeah, mine was about the same. It was about 2 minutes
I
was mad.
Yeah, you're just mad for a minute. You know,
mad.
It's in your blood. It's in my DNA, you know? I can't walk away from it. You know, and I'm not myself if I do. Like if I don't play for a while, I'm just a wreck. It's like I'm not normal.
Less normal.
I can't do normal.
Right,
less
is.
Not
less,
normal.
Less normal.
I can't do normal.
All right, Roxy, let me ask you this question. In your opinion, what defines a successful record?
If the fans buy it. If they don't buy it, it isn't successful. Maybe successful to you, but if nobody buys it, it's not successful.
Cher, would you agree with that?
I like her answer, but my answer is probably going to be if I can stand to listen to it 10 years after I made it. Then it's successful to me because most everything I can't stand to listen to.
All right, the next track I want to talk about is called Love is a Killer. Roxy, how about some history on that one?
Yeah, I wrote that with a friend of mine, Larry Morand. Harry Persigian. We were sitting around, and this guy, he was so talented, and he had just a bazillion ideas. So he's playing guitar, and he's playing like this Dream On riff, and I'm going, I like that. So we started humming the Love is a Killer tune. He started doing the melody, and we started working on the lyrics. And he came up with Got a Target on My Back for a Cupid Dressed in Black. And I thought, wow, that's pretty genius. You know, I was just totally into it. So we just wrote that song together. And what happened, though, was when we gave it to Vixen, and Randy, our producer, decided he wanted the intro to be on the keyboards. Which was a surprise to me. He didn't tell us that. So it's like I got a demo back and it was on keys. I was like, oh, but it was very Aerosmith-y before, but it worked. And Janet sang the shit out of it. I mean, if you listen to it, she did a great job. It's really an emotional song.
And it's a great song, too.
Yeah.
And here it is. Love is a Killer.
It's got a great video, too.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Love is a Killer with Vixen on Power Rock Podcast. Thank you.
love struck me down again. In dice three in and pull the pin. Blew my tender heart sky high. Now in my pain I'm asking why. As I'm crying, should I give in?
We are back with Cher and Roxy of Vixen. And ladies, I want to ask you this here. What do you think will be the next evolution in the music industry? Roxy.
I hope it goes back to bare bones rock and roll. That's what I want. I mean, all this computer and all this fake drums, and that's not, I don't dig that stuff. I mean, it's fine for if you dig it, but for me, I want old school. I want to hear the drummer playing his drums. That's so important to a song, is the drummer's feel. But I notice a lot of these bands nowadays are programming or using the whatever, all the drummers.
Quick tracks?
Whatever. I'm a technotard, so I don't know what you call that. But I know when I hear it because I'm a drummer. And I listen to it and I go, you know what all these songs have in common? Sounds like the same drummer, the same program. And to me, you lose a signature sound. Bonham made, you know, it's Bonham and Zeppelin. It's Tommy Lee. It's
Cher, let me ask you this. What was your most memorable live show?
Probably the time that Vixen went to Europe for the first time when we opened up for the Scorpions, because it was the first time that we ever played
an arena.
An arena, and it was Europe.
It's unanimous here.
So, yeah.
We all did, yeah.
That was earth-shattering.
It was mind-blowing. It was epic.
It was very epic for us on stage.
I remember peeking through the curtains in the back going, holy shit. It was just...
I think we all had like heart palpitations before we went on stage.
And I think
it was
that
terrifying.
Our set was so fast because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
We were like Motorhead. We went through that set in 20 minutes.
We had a lot of fun on that tour. I still remember there was one gig. The stages were huge because it was these arenas, right?
Yeah.
And I had one gig. I don't know if you remember this, where I ran across the stage. I don't remember what song it was now, but I ran across the stage to Jan's side of the stage, and I went flying in the air and kept playing my bass, landed on my back.
I do remember that.
And I kind of sat up a little bit and looked at you, and you leaned over your drums, and you were like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was going, yeah, I'm okay.
And then I meant to do that.
And then I didn't know what to do, and then I was stuck. I was like, then it was Spinal Tap. Am I going to have a roadie come out and get me up? What am I going to do? And so I started to lean over, and the audience went, oh. And so I went, okay, I'm going to milk it. I'm going to work it. I'm going to act like I meant to do that.
Well, weren't you Janet's roadie tonight?
I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
She does it good, too, doesn't she?
I'm a great roadie.
She wears many hats.
A great roadie.
That's funny. All right, the next track I'd like to talk about is Edge of a Broken Heart. Roxy?
That one, Richard Marx was managed by our same manager, Alan Kovac. And he had come to see us play, and he was inspired by what he saw. And he had an idea, Edge of a Broken Heart. And he brought it to us at rehearsal, and we all put it together. He called Fee Wabel to write the lyrics. It's pretty fucking cool, if you ask me.
Very cool.
And that song turned out to be the song that broke the band. And this was at the very end of recording the record. We needed one more song. We didn't have it. Richard Marx delivered it.
Wow, that's amazing.
What's cool about it? We were really comfortable playing it. That is, to me, the signature sound of Vixen. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would say in my opinion, but it's probably one of Vixen's number one.
It is.
Yeah.
One hit.
It's the big one.
You know, before I came to the gig tonight, I was cranking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's a great song.
It is a great song. And here it is, Edge of a Broken Heart with Vixen. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. We are back with Cher and Roxy. And ladies, what we're going to do is we are going to go ahead and close the show out. But what I'd like to do is ask you, I'll ask you both at the same time, and you can each answer it if you would. And it's this. What type of legacy would you like to leave to your friends, family, and fans when you pass on? Roxy?
She rocked hard. She gave it all she got. She revved it up.
Great answer. Love it. Cher?
Well, that's hard to follow, Roxy. That would be leap from love, fall from fear, and rock what you got.
Well, ladies, I'm going to tell you what. I just want to say again, thank you so much for your time. I mean, it truly has been an amazing experience for myself. Doing my first live interview backstage, what I want to say to you ladies is this, is that I truly want to wish you both, Roxy, with you in your career with Madam X, I truly want to wish you the utmost success with all my heart.
Thank you.
And I, you know, and I truly do. And I just pray that God, if I may, that he just keeps watch over you, and that you guys just keep kicking fucking ass. All right, there you have it, an interview with the ladies of Vixen. I am Jim Madonna, your host. What we're going to do is we are going to play one more tune. This one here is called Crying. Peace.
Gave it to me.